them. He'd have to have a COVID test, right? That was going to cost you how much just to get?
90.
90 bucks just to get a COVID test, just to cross the border and drive through. You're not stopping and, you know, getting out with crowds and breathing all over them. Just to drive through. Crazy, crazy stuff today. We don't even know how we're going to get back from Puerto Rico. We need to have a COVID test. I heard within a day of our trip, so that means next Sunday we have to find a place to go get a COVID test and hope we get the results back in time. I don't know. Like I said, I remember those days where you could order a ticket, go to the airport, get on the plane, and go.
Yeah.
It's not that easy anymore.
No.
And I really hope and pray that all of this nonsense will be done away with soon. I think the government countries just want to keep that control on people.
Yeah.
And even though COVID is on a decline and things are getting better, they still want that control.
Yep.
And so they come up with these crazy, foolish things that make no sense whatsoever. Mm-hmm. On the plane, we have to wear the mask the whole time. In the airport, we have to wear the mask the whole time. In Puerto Rico, we have to wear a mask when we're out and about in public places. Even the church we're going to, they've got a lot of older people there, and so they kind of would like masks being worn, so we have to do that. Kathy and I will be preaching, or should be preaching too. We're both speaking next Saturday to a group that comes for their prayer breakfast, and then I'm preaching next Sunday. So this is not, and we're going to be in church on Wednesday night, Brother Harmon's midweek service. His midweek service is 6:30. So we'll still be in church all services. Even though we're going to be gone away on a little, I don't know, call it a vacation. I don't know if it's a... He only wanted me there next weekend. I said, oh, I'm not going down there just for a weekend.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure that I got this thing figured out for at least a week. Some people say you should have taken two, which I wish I did now. But anyway, we'll see how What'd you say?
Might end up the
thing. You know, hey, we just might miss the plane as we miss the plane today. You know? But we only have a place to stay for a week. After that, we'll be beach bums.
It's okay. It's warm.
I don't know.
It's okay. Just grab a blanket.
Or find a palm tree and just, you know, lean up against the palm tree for a week. I don't know. Anyway. Did you find Matthew yet?
Yes.
Did you find chapter 22 yet?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Still looking, some of you?
Yeah.
New Testament.
Yes.
Matthew 22. Look at verse 40. Well, let me read a little bit more than just what I had written down here. Let's pick up in verse 41 and read down to the end of the chapter. If you can stand, if you're capable of standing or able to stand for the reading of the word, please do that now. Matthew 22, 41, 46. I'll read, you just follow along. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" What a question. I bet some of you couldn't even answer that. "And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst," every word "durst" means dared, "any man from that day forth ask him any more question." They learned their lesson on that one, huh? Not going to ask him any more questions. We ask him a question, he asks us back a harder question. Let's pray and get into this. Father, thank you that we could gather together this morning. It's good to be in church. Thank you, Lord, for those that are here today. We just pray that you bless our time together around the Word of God. Bless this message, Lord. Please use it for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. The message really is not in the answer or the Psalm. He was quoting Psalm 110, verse 1 there. But he does. He asks them the question. Jesus did that a lot. He would toss a question out there and then make them think about it and then try to come up with an answer. Sometimes they came up with correct answers. Sometimes they were baffled. This is one of those times that they were just baffled at the question that he asked. How could David call his son Lord? Yeah. Think about that. How could David call his son Lord? The Pharisees would have to say, if they came up with the right answer, that the son would have to be supernaturally born for David to call him my Lord. And they would be admitting to the virgin birth of Christ. They would be admitting to all the lineage from David down to Christ. They'd have to admit that, but they, of course, they weren't grasping it. Even though these guys, these Pharisees, were studious at the law. I mean, they knew the law, they knew the Old Testament, they studied the Psalms, prophets, they studied all of that, but boy, when Jesus asked the question, sometimes they had no way to answer.
Yeah.
That's not the message. The message is, what think ye of Christ?
Yeah. Amen.
That's the question today. What think ye of Christ? What do you think of Christ? It's a little difficult to describe somebody that you've never met before. Right?
Yeah.
How do you describe somebody you've never met, you've never seen, you've never verbally heard them talk back to you? How do you describe someone? When you're asked to describe somebody, you'd have to do a little research into that individual to find out what they're like and what they do. Well, we have a whole Bible that gives us the answer to that question.
Yeah. Amen.
And thank God for that.
Amen.
I've never seen Jesus Christ face to face. But I talk to him often.
Amen.
And he responds and talks to me through his word. Not audibly. He doesn't talk to me audibly. I don't sit around and, and all of a sudden he comes through and I can hear him audibly talking to me. That's not the way God works.
Amen.
If you're hearing voices, then we've got another issue we need to deal with. But the Lord speaks to us through his word.
That's right.
That is what he's been doing since the Bible was completed. And that's how he speaks to us today. But really, have you ever thought about, what do you think about Christ? If somebody came up to you and asked you, what think ye of Christ? What would your answer be? Don't yell it out right now. But just, I want you to think about this. Here's what Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, said this. He said, the great test of your soul's health is this question. What think ye of Christ? He said, that's the test of your soul. Right there, that question. Is he to you fairer than the children of men, the chief among 10,000, the altogether lovely? Does Christ stand high or low with you? Where is Jesus Christ with you? If you have the little of Christ, if you have been content to live without his presence, if you have cared little for his honor, if you have been neglectful of his laws, then I know that your soul, he says, is sick. If Christ doesn't mean a whole lot to you, your soul is sick today. You may be saved, but your soul is sick. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so you really have no clue as to who Jesus Christ is. But the Lord asked the question, what think ye of Christ? The Lord asked that question to the Pharisees. He simply says, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And so he wanted to put that question out there to make them think about who is the Messiah. Remember, Christ means Messiah. And so he's asking them about the Messiah. Who is Jesus Christ, anyway? Most people have heard of Jesus Christ, either in a positive way or a negative way, right? Most people know who Jesus Christ is. There has been studies, and I've done studies myself. The most popular person in the world still is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the most popular in all the world. He has everybody else beat by popularity. I'm sure there's some men and women today that would like to top the name of Jesus with their popularity. Maybe you would also in your popularity, but nobody will ever top Jesus Christ. You either know him in a positive sense or you know him in a negative sense.
Right.
Is he just a curse word to you?
Mm.
Or is he the Son of God to you?
Amen.
Is he some name that you hear people use constantly as a curse word? Isn't it interesting you don't hear a whole lot of people drag Muhammad's name through the dirt?
Yeah.
There's a law with Islam that if you mistreated the name of Muhammad, you are on a death roll.
Yeah, right.
Now, Jesus doesn't do that, but isn't it interesting that you don't hear people using Muhammad's name in vain, but you hear Jesus Christ used in vain all the time?
That's right.
Everywhere you go.
Yeah. Amen.
Or you hear God's name being used in a derogatory, negative way.
Yeah.
I heard Christians use the name of Jesus Christ in a derogatory manner. you better honor the name.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's at the name of Jesus every knee should bow.
Amen.
And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
The name of Jesus. Not the name of Muhammad or Allah or any other name that's out there. It's at the name of Jesus every knee will bow. It really doesn't even matter what you think of others. It doesn't matter what you think of other churches. Sometimes we get very judgmental in churches with other churches. Boy, if they're not just our flavor, we talk them down. And we don't agree with them. Maybe there's some of their doctrine or some of their theology. And so we get uppity up and thinking that we're the greatest and the bestest. But we're not the greatest and the bestest.
No.
It doesn't really matter what you think of other religions, really. You can study them and you can know what they teach and all of that. It really doesn't matter about that. Jesus didn't say, "What think ye of the Catholic Church?"
Right. Yeah, right.
Right.
He said, "What think ye of Christ?"
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, you can study that. You can study the Catholic Church, the Mormon Church, the Jehovah's Witness belief. You can study all of the other religions out there and churches out there and what they believe and all of that. And it's a good idea to have some of that knowledge.
It is.
I really believe it is. It's good to know what some of these other ones believe and teach. So you can respond to them. But the best thing to do is get into this book and understand what the Bible says.
Right.
Yeah. You want to get into a discussion with a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness, you better know what the Bible says or they'll tear you to threads with their theology and what they know about the Bible. They will literally chew you up and spit you out. You better know what the Bible says if you're going to talk to them. What think you of Christ? What do you think of Christ? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Is he just a good teacher that came 2,000 years ago and walked on the earth and taught everybody these wonderful things that he mentioned? Is that who he is to you? Is he just a miracle worker that healed people and did some nice... Is he just a good prophet? You know what really bothers me is when I hear the man upstairs.
Yeah.
That bothers me.
Yeah.
I hear that. I hear that from people a lot. Oh, the man upstairs. He's not the man upstairs.
Right.
He's God Almighty.
Amen.
He's Jesus Christ. He's Lord and Savior. He's not the man upstairs.
Right.
Have some respect for God Almighty.
Amen.
He wasn't just a good person that walked around doing good, even though he did. He healed people. He did good. He prophesied. He did all kinds of amazing things. Healed the sick. Caused the blind to see. We talked in Sunday school about that woman of 18 years bowed together. I mean, she couldn't even stand up. She was inflicted by Satan himself for those 18 years, and Jesus healed her because she was in the synagogue on a Sabbath day when she was supposed to be there.
Amen.
I believe she never missed. I believe God blessed her faithfulness by healing her too.
Amen.
If she wasn't there, if she just decided to skip church that day, she would have never been healed.
Uh-huh.
I believe that. She would have never, ever stood up straight. But God touched her life that day because he saw her faithfulness to come out. Even when she didn't feel like coming out. She was in church when she was in pain and agony. You try being in that condition. But she was still there. And she probably had to walk to the synagogue to get there. Bowed all the way over, not able to stand up. She walked to the synagogue every single Saturday and she was there to worship her God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ was crucified for you and for all of mankind. He died for you.
That's right.
Why did he die for you? Because he loves you so much.
Amen.
I want to give you two things here today, really quick. And I got to get going. What did others think of him? When he asked that question, what think you of Christ? That's an array. You're going to get an array of answers. And there were some people in the Bible that were able to answer that question. Not the direct question with a direct answer to that question, but they knew who Jesus was, and they realized who he was, and they were able to give a response back to a question like that. Go over to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. And let's take a look at just a few of these. Did you know that Jesus had some enemies?
Yeah.
I know you chuckle. Do you know that he still has enemies?
Yeah.
He's had enemies for 2,000 years. No, let me say that again. He's had enemies for 6,000 years.
Right.
the Pharisees, not all of them, but most of them were his enemy.
Amen.
Did you say amen to that? Most of them. Not all of them. There was a couple that got saved we know of. There may have been a few more that we don't know of. But the Pharisees in general, they were his enemy. And he says this, or they say this, in Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You know what I wrote next to that verse in my Bible? Amen!
Amen.
With a big exclamation point. Do you know that this is one of the greatest compliments ever given to Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was. When it says, this man receiveth sinners. You ought to thank God for that.
Amen.
He's received you as a sinner. As a wicked, I'll be kind and gentle, but as a wicked, no good for nothing, immoral, wicked, good for nothing, worm, undeserving, good for nothing. He received you. He received me.
Amen.
One of the greatest compliments ever given to him is right there. That those few little words. Amen. This man, the Pharisees were saying in a derogatory manner, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Amen. You know what Jesus loves is fellowship.
Yeah.
Amen.
He has no problem sitting down and enjoying a meal with somebody. He did that often in the scriptures, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever notice that in the gospel?
Yeah.
The Lord would sit down and have a meal with somebody. Some people are, I'm against those church dinners. I'm against that. Those things they call fellowship. Well, Jesus did it.
Amen.
As long as we keep our conversation in a biblical sense,
That's right.
We can have some good fellowship. We had great fellowship this past Friday night at our hymn sing.
Amen.
Absolutely loved it. Loved it. And we had food afterwards. Good food. And almost burnt the building down, but we had somebody put a pizza box in the oven, and somebody, I would say who, in the back row there with stripes on her shirt, I won't say who, turned the oven on. And somebody said, thank God Kirk was here. I don't know, did you turn that thing off? There's a way to do that?
Yeah.
We don't know what it is, but it would have been still going off this morning. The fire department's coming, and you know, the place, it's just a little smoke, but the pizza box caught on fire.
It wasn't a burn until we set the alarm.
Somebody threw it outside, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, here we go. Who would do such a thing?
The domino annoyed.
As that. But you know what? The church didn't burn down, and everything was fine.
Yeah.
Thank God for that. But we had a good time Friday night.
Yep.
We really did. We're going to do that more. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This man receiveth sinners. I want that to soak into your brain just for a moment and in your heart. That's what the Pharisees said about Jesus. You know why they said that about Jesus? Because they saw him do that. They witnessed him doing that. Remember, the Pharisees followed him everywhere he went. I mean, if he was over here preaching, guess where the Pharisees were?
Uh-huh.
Man, they were going to church right where Jesus was. And if he was out in the field preaching, you know where the Pharisees were? They were out there too. If he was in the cornfield doing something, the Pharisees were right around the next row. That's what they were. Watching him and listening to him. Now, they were doing it to try to find fault with him.
Right.
But they were there. Everywhere Jesus went, they were there. They were more faithful to church services with Jesus than a lot of Christians are today.
Yeah.
Those Pharisees went everywhere Jesus went. And they heard everything he had to say. But they watched him. They watched him sit down with sinners. They heard him receive sinners into his fellowship. They saw the miracles that he did. They witnessed all of that. And yet most of them still died without Christ.
That's right.
Sad. Very sad. But the Pharisee says, hey, he received the sinners. Take a look at Matthew chapter 27. Here's something else that we see that some of his enemies made the statement. Matthew 27, 41. Matthew 27, verse 41. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be king of Israel, let him come down, now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. No, they wouldn't have.
No.
But here's what they said, those three words, he saved others.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
That's what he's meant for.
You know what? He saved you and me.
Amen.
If you're not saved, he can save you.
Amen.
Nothing too bad you've done that you cannot be saved.
That's right.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I believe that you may have rejected him 1,000 times, but you can still receive him.
Amen.
Amen.
He'll always be there, ready and willing to accept you as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
For him to accept you as you would accept him as your Lord and Savior. He'll always be available until you breathe your last breath.
That's right.
You breathe your last breath, it's too late then. You won't have time off somewhere. There is no purgatory, a place where you can burn up your sins and then all of a sudden you're in glory. That does not work. That is not Bible. That's not how it works.
Amen.
Regardless of what somebody's been taught, that's not what... There's heaven or there's hell.
That's right.
There's heaven for those that believe upon Jesus Christ and receive him, or there's hell for those that reject him. But once you die, ladies and gentlemen, it's too late. That's it. Your decision has to be made before you breathe your last breath.
Amen.
I know people have gotten close. I told you before, I led a man to the Lord 12 hours later. He was dead. Mm. 12 hours in the hospital, led him to the Lord. He prayed and asked Jesus to save him. And 12 hours later, he was gone. He was out into eternity. I believe he went to heaven.
Amen.
12 hours.
Lord,
that is short. That's cutting short.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
We've led people at 99 years old to the Lord. 100 years old. Forget how old Mrs.
Oliver
was.
What did she have 104?
104? Is that when you actually led her to the Lord?
Yeah.
104 years old?
Amen.
That's cutting it close. She died shortly after that. I led a lady that 99 years old to the Lord. I've seen young people die. You say, well, good. They're old. They're going to die, at 100 years old. No, we've seen a lot of young people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. A lot of young people. Kathy's cousin, 18 years old, hit by a car, died a week later. I told you about the guys that I worked with at Crucible that I led to the Lord. And one of them was in the hospital dying of cancer, and 6 weeks after he was saved, he died. But I'm thankful that they had the opportunity to be saved.
Amen.
Amen.
The chief priest says he saved others. Why can't he save himself? He didn't need salvation.
Right. That's right.
Simple. He didn't need to be saved.
That's right.
You need to be saved.
Right.
Yes. Amen.
The world needed to be saved.
Amen.
And needs to be saved.
Amen.
Christ never
Amen.
Had to
That's
save
right.
himself. Didn't have to come off the cross. He was hanging there to save you and me.
Amen.
He was hanging there to save every single human being that ever wants to come to him. He was not there taking care of himself. He was there taking care of me and you.
Amen.
Go back a page, or a chapter, I should say, to Matthew 26 and verse 57. 26, 57. Matthew 26, verse 57, and they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Boy, they were just waiting to get their mitts on this man. Drop down to verse 63. But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered, we know who the high priest was, that's Caiaphas, answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tellest whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. What did you just say? Jesus said, you just told me who I was.
Mm-hmm.
You just made it very clear. The entire world knows exactly, Caiaphas, what you just said. Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. So what did Caiaphas? Caiaphas said, you're the Christ. Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, you just said it. Caiaphas probably had no idea what he was saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Jesus said, you just determined exactly who I was. And you know what, Caiaphas? You are 100% correct.
Amen.
I am Christ, the Son of God.
Amen.
Go over to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. Have you heard of a guy by the name of Pilate? Governor of Judea at the time. Herod was in charge of Galilee. Pilate was in charge of this area around Jerusalem. And in 23 and verse 4, Luke 23 verse 4, Pilate is examining Jesus Christ, and he's got his guys out there trying to figure out exactly what's wrong with Christ. But Pilate makes a very interesting statement in verse 4 when he says, "Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people," look at that, "I find no fault in this man."
Yeah.
You know what Pilate was actually saying? Yeah. This man is sinless.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you can find fault with anybody. You don't have to look too far to find fault with me.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
Probably don't have to look too far to find some fault
right.
in you.
Right.
Not at all.
But Pilate said, "I can't find anything wrong with this man." As far as Pilate was concerned, I think he was admitting the fact that Christ was sinless. Can't find anything wrong. There's not, I can't find a thing. What he said, what he did, I can't find any fault in this man. That's an amazing statement.
Amen.
I find no fault in this man. Back to Matthew 27. We're doing a little Bible exercise here today. Matthew 27 again. There's a reason why. I'm taking you back to Matthew 27. Pastor, we were just there. Why couldn't you cover the verse when we were just there? Because. I didn't want to. Matthew chapter 27, I want you to look at verse 19. We just talked about Pilate. In 27:19, Matthew, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife, whose wife? Pilate's wife, sent unto him, saying, "I have thou nothing to do with that," say the next two words, "just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Pilate says, "I find no fault in him." His wife, in a separate or thing that was going on, she was taking a nap, had a dream, I don't know, but she says, "This man is a just man."
Amen.
That's Mrs. Pilate making that statement. And she was going along probably with her husband, but she's trying to stop her husband saying, "There's something different about this guy. This man is just." In other words, there's nothing wrong with this man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mrs. Pilate was actually saying he's sinless. She knew it. And I believe she was a lost woman. And I believe Pilate was a lost man. And by examining Jesus Christ, they realized exactly who or what he was. Mark chapter 5, verse 7. One more. Mark 5, 7. You read the book of Mark, Jesus goes over to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he comes to the country of the Gadarenes, immediately in verse 2, they're met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. This man was a wild man. This man spent his days and nights at the graveyard. This man was infatuated with death.
Yeah. Yeah.
Death. If you're infatuated with death and like to hang around the graveyards all the time, there's something wrong there.
Yeah.
Amen. That's where this man spent his time. He would cut himself with stones and he would run around and say horrible, awful things and blaspheme and curse and swear, and everybody was scared to death of this man. And always, night and day, verse 5, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, what did he do? He ran and worshipped him. And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." We see here in this verse 7 that this devil or devils that was inside of this man, remember how many there were? Thousands. Thousands of devils were inside of this man. It overpowered him and it had overcome him. Thousands. But it's interesting that this they make the statement, "Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God." Now that man spoke those words, I'm sure, but those devils inside of him recognized who Jesus was.
Yeah, right, man.
There was a time when Paul was preaching and the devils came along and recognized Paul the Apostle. I made a note in my Bible, would the devils ever recognize me as a preacher? Think about it.
Yep.
These devils knew who Jesus was. They said, "Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God." They knew who created them. And that was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They knew, the devils knew that Jesus was the Son of the Most High God.
That's right.
They knew that Jesus was God. Almighty.
Amen.
They knew who he was. And yet, a majority of the world today has no idea who Jesus Christ is. Yet we see the Pharisees said, "He receiveth sinners." The chief priest said, "He saved others." Caiaphas said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." Pilate says, "I find no fault in this man." Mrs. Pilate says, "He's a just man." And the devil say, "Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God." That's what all of these other people thought about Jesus Christ. And they were his enemies.
Right? That's good.
The devils didn't worship Jesus. The man was going to worship Jesus Christ because the man somehow in his sense, in his will, he knew exactly what he had to do to get to Jesus Christ, to get these devils out of him. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? What think ye of Christ? He makes that statement. Matthew 22, verse 42. What think ye of Christ? I don't have time to get into the rest of it. We'll look at the rest tonight. His enemies, we only talked about his enemies this morning. Tonight we're going to see what his friends say about him.
Mm-hmm.
What does his friends say about him? Jesus had a few friends, and they made some statements, really interesting statements about who Jesus Christ was. And then we're going to look tonight at who is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I have three things written down, and listen, we are not going to cover them all, but we're going to try to cover the three. But everything about Jesus Christ, you cannot cover everything about Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
Can't do it. John, we'll close with this verse. John said this somewhere towards the end of his gospel.
Amen.
In chapter 21 and verse 25 in John, there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books.
That's right.
That should be written.
Amen.
And then John even amened himself. He said, "Amen.
Amen
to that." There is no way we can exhaust everything about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. You can't exhaust everything
Amen.
About God.
Amen.
Can I make a statement here today and then we'll close? You don't understand God.
No, that's right.
You don't understand Him fully.
Amen.
Yeah.
You've got a little tiny itsy bitsy, tiny, it is so small in your little finite mind of who you think God is. We cannot
Amen.
Fully comprehend God.
Amen.
I believe what I believe by faith.
Amen.
By faith. I believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By faith. I trusted him as my Lord and Savior 51 years ago. By faith. Mm-hmm. By faith. Never saw him. Never heard him speak to me audibly. But I believe in him.
Amen.
I've trusted him.
Amen.
He's my Lord and Savior today.
Amen.
If I was to die, I know exactly where I'm going.
Amen.
That plane takes a nosedive into the ocean. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We'll hug one another and we'll die together. Huh? And the family is going to be on their own.
Yeah.
They can fight for the chickens, fight over the dog and the two cats, and everything else that's in that house. No, we're not. I don't think we're going to go down.
No.
But I do know where I'm going to go.
That's right.
If something should happen to me, do you know where you're going to spend eternity
right.
when you die?
Yes.
Amos made a very interesting statement way back in his little book. He said, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared to meet your God? Do you know when you're going to meet him? Nope. You know, that's a surprise.
Amen.
Surprise! Our death will be a surprise someday.
Amen.
You will probably die when you least expect it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
You will. You will die when you least expect it. It's coming soon. To a body near you. You better be prepared. You better be saved.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. What think ye of Christ? You know, your eternal destiny depends on how you answer that.
Amen.
How do you answer this? I can say he's my Lord and Savior without flinching because I know it. How about you? Jesus died for you because he loves you so much.
Amen.
He would have never died for us if he didn't love us.
That's right.
Who in the right mind would go out and be nailed to a cross, suffer and be nailed to a cross for nothing?
Yeah.
You can work your way to heaven. Why did Jesus die on the cross?
Exactly.
If you could join a church somewhere, a denomination somewhere, why would he die on the cross? You can be dipped in a tank, a baptismal tank, and go to heaven. Why would he have to die on the cross?
Yeah. That's right.
Right.
No, he died for you and me.
Right. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Question today is, are you saved? If you're not, get saved today. Father, thank you for the message. Thank you, Lord. For that question that you offered the Pharisees that day, what think ye of Christ? Lord, I know we only looked at a little bit here this morning, but Father, I pray that we, every single person here today and those listening online, would ask that question to themselves. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Thank you, Lord, for being my Lord and Savior today. There may be somebody here today that can't answer that. They don't know who Jesus Christ is. They don't know who you are. I pray that before they leave this building today, before they leave this place and venture out into a dangerous world, that they would get that taken care of today.
Yes.
I pray that as Christians, we would think about who you are as Christians. And how are we living our lives? Are we living our lives to please you? Or are we living our lives to please ourselves? Are we obeying you and your word? Are we following you as you instruct us in your gospels? Help us to think about these things today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.